We're beginning today in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 1. And as we begin this chapter, let's remember that when Paul wrote this book to the Ephesians, he did not divide it into chapters and verses. He did not put Ephesians chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, and so forth. And so that's important to remember because what he's talking about here in our version or in our edition of the Bible, which is called chapter 3, is exactly what he's been talking about in chapter 2. The thought or the subject does not change. In chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, he talks to the Gentiles here, the Gentile Christians, and he tells them what they were and who they are now in Christ. Now, in chapter 3, he's going to develop that even further. So let's begin in Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He emphasizes again that they are Gentiles in their nationality. And notice in verse 1 that he also mentions that he is the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And that's why we call Ephesians, as well as Philippians and Colossians and the book of Philemon, the prison epistles. So Paul is a prisoner, and as we have noted, he was under house arrest when he wrote these books. Then in verse 2, Paul says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward. The word dispensation here does not refer to a frame of time. It does not refer to a period of time. It refers to the realm of responsibilities that God gave to Paul. It refers to the work that God gave Paul to do, and that is to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So the word dispensation here is oftentimes translated stewardship because God put him over this work. God delegated this work to him, and in that sense, it is a dispensation. I think that many times when we see that word dispensation, we automatically think of a period or an age of time, but here it refers to those duties and responsibilities that God gave to the Apostle Paul. And remember that Romans 11, verse 13 says that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, God gave him that special work. God said that he was a chosen vessel. So he has this dispensation or this stewardship of the grace of God. It was given to him to youward, that is, toward you. And then in verse 3, Paul said, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now, we've seen that word mystery before in this book, back in chapter 1, remember in verse 9, that Paul said, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And notice that we see in the word mystery not something that we can't comprehend, not something that we cannot understand, but we see that people know the mystery because in chapter 1, verse 9, he said, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And here in chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So could Christians then understand and know this mystery? Yes. And that means that Christians today, people today, can know and understand that mystery. It's not something that we cannot fathom. Paul said that God made known that mystery to him by revelation, that is, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Galatians 1, verse 12, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's emphasizing here. Now let's notice in the last part of verse 3 and in verse 4, we have some words in parentheses. Paul says, as I wrote afore in few words. He's already mentioned this in chapter 1 and in verse 9. And notice that Paul said, I wrote in few words. And Paul wrote by inspiration, but what I want us to notice is what we find in verse 4. Whereby, when you read, read what? Read the words that Paul wrote. Paul said, I wrote in words, and when you read those words, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So it's as simple as this. The Bible is written in words. The Bible is God's word in words. And when we read those words, we can understand. Now, that should forever do away with the idea that we cannot understand the Bible. That should set aside the claim that many people make that one person interprets the Bible in one way and another person in a different way, and we can't really know which interpretation is true. The Bible says that you can understand. And when the Bible says in Ephesians 3, verses 3 and 4, that you can understand, that is one of many verses that teach us that if we want to know the truth, if we want to understand God's will, we can read and understand the Bible. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, John 8:32. Jesus said in John 7, verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. The Bible says that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Well, if God wants all men to have the knowledge of the truth, then why would anybody think that he's given us a Bible that's too hard to understand? That wouldn't even be just in the sight of God. That wouldn't even correspond to the nature of God. So Paul said, you can understand what I am writing to you in words. And when Paul says that you can read what he wrote and understand it, that means that you can read it and understand it even if you don't have a college education. You don't have to have a college education to obtain a good knowledge of the Bible. When Paul says you can understand what I wrote, that means that you don't have to have a priest or a bishop or a pope or some preacher to explain to you what the Bible means. You can read it for yourself and you can understand it. And when Paul says you can read what I wrote and understand it, that means that you don't have to have some kind of miraculous operation of the Holy Spirit to enlighten your eyes so that you can understand the Bible. God has made us in His own image. That means that we have the ability to reason and to understand and to know. And so He's given us the revelation of His will in the Bible, and we can read it and we can understand it. Now, as we get to verse 5 then, He's talking still about this mystery. Notice what He says in verse 5. He's going back to the mystery that he mentioned in verse 3. He said, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now skip what is in the parentheses and come down to verse 5, which, and that goes back to the mystery, this mystery in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. That is, prior to the gospel. In Old Testament times and before the New Testament was given, God did not make known this mystery. People didn't understand it. They didn't know it like we do. We understand this mystery when we understand the New Testament, and especially if we understand what Paul is about to write to us here in these verses that follow. But people in the Old Testament did not understand that. Even the prophets of God did not understand this mystery like we do today. Peter writes about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. So he says in verse 5 that this mystery in other ages, that is, in previous times, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So now the mystery, again he says, is revealed. Notice how many times that Paul talks about it being made known, understanding it, and it being revealed. Now it is revealed, the Bible says, to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Jesus told the apostles that he had many things still to tell them, but he said, you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. John 16, 12 and 13. So even Jesus did not really elaborate on what Paul is talking about here. Now, he said some things about it, and the Bible tells us that he said some things about the Gentiles and how that the Gentiles would come into the church, but he didn't specifically say Gentiles, and so we have to understand that in light of other teaching in the New Testament. And so in John 10, verse 16, Jesus said, "I have other sheep who are not of this fold." He's talking about the Gentiles there. But even in that verse, we would not be able to understand what he was talking about unless we had the rest of the New Testament. So Paul says, now it is revealed, and it is revealed by the Spirit. Here is the mystery then that was not revealed in the Old Testament, but is revealed today. It was a mystery because it was concealed in Old Testament times, but revealed today. It was hidden in the Old Testament. It was a secret then, but it's made known, and it's out in the open. It's manifest now. Here it is. Verse 6. The mystery was that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the mystery that Paul is talking about. Now, why was that a mystery? Well, because the Jews in the Old Testament and from reading the Old Testament didn't know that. They didn't know that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs and in the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, you might be thinking, yes, but didn't the Old Testament prophesy about the Gentiles? Didn't the Old Testament promise that the Gentiles would be blessed? Well, yes, it did. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, Isaiah prophesied, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Now, Paul quotes that verse and other verses in Romans chapter 15. He says in Romans 15, beginning in verse 8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name.'" That's a quotation from Psalms. Verse 10, and again he says, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." That's from Deuteronomy 32. And again, verse 11, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." That's from Psalm 117. And again, verse 12, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." That's Isaiah 11. So you say, well, the Old Testament then did say that the Gentiles would seek after the Messiah. Yes, it did. But the Old Testament did not specify that the Gentiles would be equal with the Jews in the same body, the church. You see, the Jews would look at those Old Testament prophecies and say, well, the Gentiles will be able to learn about the Messiah. But they regarded them on the fringes. They still regarded them as outside of their particular nation. And so they didn't see that the Gentiles would be equal with them and that they would both be children of God in the church. And so the Old Testament did say that the Gentiles would seek after the Messiah, but the New Testament reveals this mystery. The mystery is that was hidden in the Old Testament that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Fellow heirs with who? The Jews. And of the same body, not a different body, but they will be in the same church as the Jews. And they will be partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the mystery that is now revealed.